there don't understand and so on and so on and so on, and hope that they could.
I mean, I remember, I think you told me when you were born.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's down there.
And how many kids you had?
February 10, 1909, and we have, that was our oldest boy at called a bit ago.
And you lived here all?
We lived here. He helped build this house as a kid. They all helped. Graduated from school here in Fairbanks.
What about you?
Huh?
What about you when you were younger?
Well, that's odd. My younger brother and myself had typhoid when we were, about the time we started school. And so we were out of school for a year. And it left us kind of puny, and we had to kind of build ourselves back up. There were six kids in the family, which I think we mentioned. And they all would come back to Alaska, you know. Even though they might leave the country, they still would come back. The mother and the older kids went to Skagway in 1905. My dad was in Nome at the rush of 99. And he got washed out pretty well when that storm hit there. And, that's a long story in itself.
So you were born...
But anyway, he went, he was engineer for the Oregon Alaska Molybdenum Mining Company. And prospected for molybdenum along the coast and found a pretty good sizable deposit near Skagway, and so he spent some time there, and the Krupp Company of Germany took an option on it just prior to the outbreak of war with England, which occurred in late in 13, early in 14, and a pretty good royalty basis. When Germany and Britain started their squabble. Now this is right on the border between Canada and Alaska, and they didn't know where the border was at that time. It wasn't until quite a few years after that that the boundary was established. But Britain then had more control over Canada than it does now, and they knew pretty well what was going on. And they brought proceedings early in 1914 and had these claims tied up for years and years and years, well, until 1922. And so, it was just a fact that it was forgotten. And my nephew recently went in and re-established ownership of these. But they claimed that, that it was on Canadian soil, therefore it was under jurisdiction of the British, and it was tied up by injunction. And that had a small influence. When I say I'm sure it had a small influence, it might have had a larger influence, on establishing monuments between Canada and Alaska, cooperative with the two governments. And which reminds me of another little incident that, with regard to this boundary. Most of the monuments, they carried in by pack board, or by pack animals and boats and whatever method they could. The Arctic cement came from down the Mackenzie and then to Herschel Island, and then Herschel Island this way towards the head of the Old Crow and a lot of it went up the Porcupine River into the Old Crow to get to the boundary, and Mount St. Elias, I think, is pretty close to that boundary down on the coast.
I hear a car? Oh.
No. But anyway, these monuments tipped over. Cement was different than they make it today. And cement contained a lot of rather raw type lime. Yeah. Any cement will kind of weather. But the wild animals come in there and they go to lick for this lime, and pretty soon they undermine, which most of it is on the ground where they can get it, and they undermine these, and about, well, I know up the Porcupine, most of them are laying one way or another, you know, where the animals are dug out under there. All the animals are, you know, but they need that mineral, that calcium and the salty taste, of course. So rather interesting. I don't know whether people pay any attention to it or not.
Well, I always like this sort of thing, so I mean, I have...
But if somebody was to happen to examine those, they'd wonder why they're always tipping over, you know. Oh, for darn the frost or something. Well, it probably had some influence, but first, animals kind of...
So then did your dad, when at the outbreak...
Then they came, then he went to Dawson and fiddled around there, and then he came down to Circle for Barry Hamlin Company. There was an article in the paper recently about Barry Hamlin people. And he hunted for them and helped establish claims and so forth for a couple of years. Came into Fairbanks, liked it. A couple of boys down there where Wainwright is now. There was an island, and altogether there was 300 and some acres of land, and these two boys were going to homestead it, and he in 1904 bought them out and homesteaded. Didn't get patented until, oh, I don't know, a long time after that, because he had too much waterfront, you know, a lot of silly things like that. And, that's been the home ever since. And he went to fur buying and all everything, freighting and...
And you helped him on all this? I
was pretty young, you know. But us kids had to learn to do things. We lived out of town. Were isolated some time of the year, like break up and about freeze up time. And it didn't have the roads like you have now, you know. Transportation was, you had to be by a river or a stream, or you had to be where you could navigate in the wintertime easily without having to build a bridge or something, you know. And he was interested in politics, and he was a pretty good public speaker, and he liked to take issue with anybody.
That sounds like a good and influence.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he was, I never heard of anybody who didn't respect. They have a lot of respect for him. Unless it might have been a judge or somebody. Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's several little instances there that even a short period ago, a very famous judge, you could just see that, your family, damn you. To me, it's laughable.
Oh, it is wonderful. Just wonderful.
I was in charge of putting on a benefit one time. Smoker. And I mispronounced a word. And in the start of this program, I made a little announcement of why a smoker was taking it, and actually it was for a benefit for the hospital, for the old St. Joe's Hospital. And we had a real nice card, Bud Myers, a real estate man, he was, and another one that sells Encyclopedia Britannica, he was on the show. He had a chief of police, and Johnny Buttervich had his first and I think only fight as a fighter on that particular show. But I made a little talk there to the audience, and I used the word that it will bring out, this sort of contest will bring out latent powers. It's not latent, it's latent. After the program was all over, Johnny got staggering around where they had to stop the fight. Mm-hmm. And an Indian boy went on to become quite a fighter. We just outclassed him. And the president of the University of Alaska, who at one time was a U.S. judge here in Fairbanks, who didn't like my dad. They were opponents, in other words. And came up to me, and I remember he had a scarf, no hat on, and a scarf. I was surprised to see him there, you know. I figured, my God, this is second-class operation. And just the common people supposed to be the smoker. And here he was. He come down, shuffled down there, and he had slippers on. Feet always bothered him. And put that big scarf wrapped around his neck, and he says, Busby, I'm ashamed of you. And he went on, and he just blew the hell out of me. Anybody knows better than to make such a terrible mistake.
Did he ever tell you what it was?
I
mean,
well, I asked him. I says, Judge,
what
is it now? What is the problem? I was young and kind of cocky then, too, you know. And he said, you used misspelled the word latent. Or latent. And I says, it startled me. I says, did you understand what it was? Well, I certainly. I says, well, and if you can understand it, anybody else should be able to. And that ended it. And you could just see the fire in it. Oh, boy. His daughter, he had one daughter, Jean Manella, was a real swell classic girl. She used to set in front of me in school. And in two different, 1 year and part of another. And if it hadn't been for her helping me once in a while, I don't think I'd have got the first base. Mm-hmm. But she was what her dad was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Her mother was very nice. I don't know what the problem was, but they kind of separated. Gene was in here a few years ago. Well, that was 1921, was the last time that I seen her. Never thought of her, you know, until here one day she popped in here. Wanted to know if it was a rope or something that they could tow their car. They broke down out here.
For heaven's sake.
So they happened to have a rope, and so she stayed here and visited with the kids and the family and so forth. And, well, they towed the car in and got it fixed and came back. And kind of interesting. You know?
Oh, yeah, very. So you did get to school. I mean, I guess what impresses me about you, and I don't like the word impress, you know, I mean, it's just for lack of another term, it's, I think that, in from my definition of intelligence, is not altitude but spectrum. And you know, I'm very impressed with the spectrum. And here, you've had relatively little formal education to that extent.
Yeah, well, I had.
But you did it on your own.
I had not on my own. I think it was just excellent help.
Mm-hmm.
People that knew how to teach, I think, was the thing. We have lots of teachers today. My God, the world's full of them. But they are in a category of where they are specializing in one particular thing, and they don't know a damn thing about anything else. Not all of them, but most of them. Like Robin down here teaches kindergarten, and it's a special, she can take any little kid and they can know what words mean and how to spell them and put them in the right place and all that when they're real small. And as a kindergarten teacher, she's, you know, wonderful. But she doesn't know anything about anything else. Ronnie's with Alaska history and American history, and my golly, sometimes I think he didn't know anything but that. So this this is the thing. But when you have, especially like a mother and dad that had gone through so many experiences, and everything was of great interest, and family was so important. And if there's anything that they knew that could benefit you, that was available to you, for you to accept or reject. That's the thing that I believe was so important. Now, we had exceptional teachers in our school. I went through fifth grade here in Fairbanks. I think it took me 7 years or something like that. But I was always in trouble. I know 2 years in the first grade, I was out more than half of this year with illness. And I was out in the woods until after the freeze up with the folks. In second grade, went into third grade, and the teacher, we just clashed. And the kids didn't like me. One of our teachers was insisted that you know how to write. Oh.
That just happened.
So penmanship was so important. Fancy. And I remember Betty and I was at a Pioneer celebration here a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, and there was one of the old family boys, a boy from one of the old families that was in the same grade with me, one of the years, got kind of tanked up with beer or whatever they were serving on the side. Came over and put his arms around us and started in talking. And, you know, I never have a chance to talk to you since we was going to school as kids. But you know how I hated you? Because I didn't like most of the other kids in our class. You was the only one that was allowed to use a pen and ink, and we had to use pencil.
Oh, is that right?
Isn't that odd?
You
see?
All
those
years.
All those years.
Yeah.
Well, you don't know why, and this was not just that boy, but the whole family, you know. How, when they are busy thinking about something like that, they miss so much of what's going on in life. But that startled me to think that they would hold a grudge. But on the other hand, I thought, well, nothing that would have stopped you, you know, to have learned a little or something about penmanship. Most of that family is dead now, too. They were real nice people.
So then what happened after grade five?
Well, we went to the States. I didn't go to school anymore that year.
What did you do in the States? Oh, just went down for a year?
No, we was... my dad was supposed to inherit a considerable amount of money, and he got out there and he turned it down. There was too many stipulations.
Mm-hmm. Happens a lot, too. But there's nothing, no such thing as a gift
offer. Oh, yeah, we sold our place here, our old ranch, and my brother, next oldest brother, that girl that was here the other day, her dad, was in the summertime, was up and down the Yukon in boats. And my oldest sister, was married and over in Fort Yukon at that time. And younger sister was telephone operator here in Fairbanks. My oldest brother, Ronnie's dad was, I think at that time that he was, I don't quite remember what he was doing. He was always, he was a cartoonist by trade. Mm-hmm. Pretty good musician, but too easy, you know. He do something where he got more action and not so much money. I think that he was in charge of the experimental station out here at the college at that time. I think he was. He wasn't the superintendent, but he was in charge of some phase of it. We usually have director and then, I don't know, it's kind of a long drawn out affair, you know. You've got to have a lot of bureaucracy in federal jobs. And
so then you came back up here as a family?
I went to school out there for 5 years.
Uh-huh.
And I also took special courses. Now, we couldn't have the help of our teachers that we had here once a week would always be there to see what you damn dummy, whether you've learned anything or whether you could remember anything. And so we missed so many things. I was going to high school in Compton, California.
Mm-hmm.
And there was 2,500 kids there. And I learned less during that season.
Yeah.
Oh, I was such a waste of time. So I took night school. Then I went to art school in La Mita.
Mm-hmm.
And the high school was in Compton. Not far from Watts. A very famous watch. I had a lot of funny experiences there. And then I went up to Sacramento where a family lived. Dad had come north to repossess our property, which he did. And we cut loose of the property we had down there, which is I was always glad we did because almonds and fruit trees and things like that, just waste of time as far as I was concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But I won a little scholarship to Davis,
mm-hmm.
University of California, Davis, and that was kind of a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
No, I shouldn't say that, because you learn something. But I cut that out. Now, I condemned the kids one time, thoroughly, as Betty would tell you, probably, for turning down, three of them had scholarships here at the university. Mm-hmm. And the other one could have had if it wanted, I guess. And I kind of went after one of them because he quit it and went to Anchorage and then went on his own to Los Angeles. That's the boy that called today. Mm-hmm. And he's got a real good education. I mean, top quality, you know. But he done it the hard way. Mm-hmm. Yet I done the same damn thing myself, mm-hmm. you see. And a dollar in those days was quite a lot different than what they would be now. So I shouldn't condemn them on anything at all.
So then you came to...
Then we came north. I went to... They were going to colonize the railroad. Mm-hmm. And so we started in... We went up to Oregon and bought a place in Tillamook, Oregon.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And my brother and his oldest daughter just revisited there this spring. And they took some pictures, and it looks worse than it was when we were there. Oh, gee, what a dilapidated layout. Mm-hmm. House, a new house, but everything else had just gone to pot. And but the road, you know, still a damn old broken fence like around the roads like it was when I was there in the early days. Well, I had a chance, an offer to, if I would learn how to make cheese, I could be in charge of the creamery, and they had a creamery on a railroad. Cars, and they didn't know whether to have it at Anchorage or here, or they would maybe go between here and McKinley Park. And I thought, my God, that's a it'd be a good job, because Dad was a great stockman. He anywhere he went, if he didn't have some stock, why there's no use banking. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't horses, it was cows or something, you know. Mm-hmm. And, he even had the chicken ranch one time in California, you know. Mm-hmm. The only thing about that was we learned why it was that when you got lots of eggs, the price goes down and vice versa, you know. That's the only thing we learned about that. Well, so we started in buying stock. Now, they have beautiful stock around there. It's dairy stock. Mm-hmm. And naturally, we'd have to have dairy stock because we want to help this cheese factory along, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And so